In episode 3 of Sorry for Your Loss, we're introduced to two new characters, a newcomer at grief class named Becca, and of course, Lee's father. We've got a lot to talk about, both of those characters and more, here on the official after show for Sorry for Your Loss, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes!
You said you were going to sing it.
Our listeners hate me right now. That's my best Kurt Cobain impression. And of course, we brought in Kurt Cobain because this episode of Sorry for Your Loss is called Jackie O and Courtney Love. Such a smart title for this episode, yeah. Right? The voices you're hearing, guys, are my co-conspirators, Taylor Gates.
Hey, what's up?
D'Angelo Platt.
What it do?
And I am Jeff Graham, and we are so excited to be here to talk about Sorry for Your Loss. Of course, this is Facebook Watch's brand new, amazing show, starring Elizabeth Olsen and Kelly Marie Tran, among others. And today we're covering episode 3. It was called Jackie O and Courtney Love. Before we dive into our coverage specifically, I would love to know... Oh, I want to let you guys know we have some segments. Mm. We will not only be talking about the show, but we also have a segment called our Most Moving Moment.
Yes.
In a show that's so moving, we want to talk about the scenes that are making us cry. Mm. We'll call that our M-cubed moment, maybe. Most Moving Moment. I love a good abbreve. Let's talk about our overall reactions to this show. Taylor, how did you feel about episode 3?
I love this one. I think it might be my favorite one that we've seen so far, just because I think that the sort of opposites in Becca and Lee was really, really interesting. Mm. But, like, of course, they're more similar than originally meets the eye. And yeah. I thought kind of finding that out at the end, I knew that there was, like, going to be something there, but there was definitely, like, a surprising twist, which I always enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't seen an episode I don't like. I love they're kind of hinting at different ways to deal with grief. It's a great episode. Each of them has been my new favorite one after I watch it.
I know. I'm sort of loving. It's sort of like the show is a series of interrelated short films. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice. We have this overarching plot where we're dealing with Lee, and I think we're learning more about Danny. I always Danny and Matt. Danny is her spouse. Matt is... Oh, Danny's the brother. So, sorry. Mm-hmm. We're learning more about Matt. But I just sort of love how it seems like this show... is almost in the same way like Master of None will take on like a topic, but it still makes so much sense in the universe of the show. Mm-hmm. It's really beautifully done. Yeah, I agree with you about Becca Taylor. I was worried about this character a little bit because I knew the show wasn't going to let me down. But when we first met her, I was like, this is a funny character. I'm laughing, but I know that this show is more interested in this character than the show was letting on, you know? Yeah. And of course, the show did not let us down. We got to see a really beautiful turn at the end of this episode. Let's start by talking about Becca, because such a nice little jagged edge to sort of throw into the universe of, we have this sort of series of interesting sardonic characters, and she's kind of a pumpkin spice latte loving basic B word, played by Lauren Robertson. I want to shout out this actress because I thought she was really, really good. How did you guys sort of feel about Becca when we first met her at the grief group meeting?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think that she was, like, a lot of fun at the beginning, obviously, and because, yeah, this is, like, a very sort of gray and, like, darkish sort of universe they've created with all of these, like,
angsty.
Very angsty, sad, rain cloud characters, and she's just, like, she is hype to be alive, even though she's been through something really traumatic, and I always love it when you get, like, those opposite characters, and... I loved the interaction. I think Elizabeth Olsen did, like, such a good job, too, like, playing it really straight.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm more so an Elizabeth Olsen personality type, so I was just, like, really turned off at first.
You're more Courtney Love than Jackie.
So, but I love, yeah, like you said, I trusted that they were going to do something with this.
Yeah.
But the contrast was really nice.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I'm more of a Jackie O than a Courtney Love, I would say. Not even, what's a better example? What I liked about this was, I feel like sometimes when I see these, like, basic, cheery characters on TV, I sometimes identify with them a little bit. And I'm like, I want to be taken seriously as, like, an intellectual analyst and someone who's pursuing a career in criticism. Mm-hmm. But, like, also, like, I can, like, smile and wear Argyle and, like, jauntily walk to Trader Joe's.
Argyle.
Like, you know, like, that's just who I am. And sometimes I'm like, does this personality discredit my ability to grieve or be a serious person? Mm-hmm. And I think the show was interested in exploring that topic, too. I will say, though, some of the subtle writing with Becca that I loved. The first thing she says when she's talking about her late husband is she says, I knew we would fall in love when I found out that Shawshank Redemption was our favorite movie and that Catcher in the Rye was our favorite book.
I was like, ugh.
I know. But, like, what specific choices to give us a picture of who she is?
Yeah. Catcher in the Rye.
I know. Amazing. It's like that book that seems deep, but you're like, you know they both read it their sophomore year of high school.
Oh, I'm yeah.
Like, but just, like, those small writing decisions that the show makes are so brilliant, I think. One thing I want to ask you guys, is there, like, a wrong way to grieve? I mean, like, Becca's instinct is to try to immediately connect with everyone in the group and make plans with everyone and find your number on the grief group and text you right away. Is she doing this wrong?
I think it's a great question. I think that's the question they're posing. I think what we're learning from this episode is a combination of both of what they were trying to accomplish.
Mm.
You got to be honest with who you are and how you feel, but also push yourself and try to connect with other people and learn. And both of what they were doing is what you need.
Yeah.
From my perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say no. I think that you have to just kind of feel whatever you're feeling. And I like that you brought up, like, you have to be honest with yourself, because I don't think Becca was being completely honest with herself. But, I mean, if sending deep quotes helps her and things like that, then like, I say go for it. Like, do whatever you need to do to, you know, get through this impossible time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I like about the show is, I think, like, it's not interested in really answering that question of is this wrong or right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a non-judgmental approach to grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the truth is, like, both of them probably, like, no one's handling their emotions perfectly, because how do you do that?
Right.
And, like, I think it would have been really easy for this show to, like, implicate Becca and be like, she's this basic girl who doesn't understand the depth of pain. But I think the show is also implicating Elizabeth Olsen and saying, like, you know what? When people are going through a hard time, you can't just completely close yourself off, you right. know? So just really interesting dichotomy between the two of them. And, of course, it comes to a head in this final scene where they do decide to go to a Korean spa. This kind of took my breath away. Mm-hmm. How did you guys feel? To remind you, if you need a reminder, basically they're both getting massaged and she's talking about the importance of physical touch for her to understand love. And she breaks down. This scene took my breath away. I don't know how you guys felt seeing this, but...
Yeah, it was great. I love the buildup of it. I love that her conversation with her father is what got her to the realization that she should go and connect with her.
Mm-hmm.
I love... It was put together so well. The flashback with Matt and how he challenged her for not wanting to go in the house. Like, how they put it together was so, like, seamless. And
yeah.
It really made the emotions of that last scene so powerful.
And I sort of like that... We planted the seed in almost like a forgettable throwaway line. She's like, oh, I bought us two for one at the spa. And I honestly kind of forgot about that. And so when she went, I was like, what is she doing? And then I was like, oh, she's going to see Becca. And so I think that it was like a really interesting choice not to have that be like lingering over the whole episode and it just be a sort of like... You remember it once it happens, but you weren't anticipating it.
Mm-hmm. Those seeds that you didn't realize would bloom when they're being planted at the beginning of the episode. Yeah, I love that. I was just so glad the show made her a round character. I was like, I'm enjoying this like basic girl, but like I know the show's much more interested in her than this. Mm-hmm. And so I was so relieved when they just gave her a much deeper picture of who she was without words. You know, it's the way it was shot, the way it was emoted, just really, really great work.
I think that's well said. They're doing a good job with making every character they introduce round.
Yeah.
And that's what like makes it so relatable.
Definitely.
And it brings up the sort of question that we got in the pilot about like what other people want to see and what other people want you to feel. And I think that the fact that, I mean, Becca wanted a divorce from this guy, she's never going to say that because that's not what everyone else wants to hear. And that's not the pretty picture that everyone else wants to see. And so I think them bringing up questions about, like, perspective and what the world thinks of, like, young widows is really complicated and interesting.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think we're going to see more of that perspective question as we learn more about who Danny really was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned Lee's dad. Mm-hmm. But before we talk about Lee's dad, I want to talk about our network a little bit. You know, that last scene took our breath away. But that's not the only breathtaking television here at AfterBuzz TV. We cover a lot of TV. I know you're on Facebook right now. But talk about our YouTube, D'Angelo, because there's a lot more there.
Yes, AfterBuzz is our network, produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channels, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz AfterBuzzes continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be worried about that because they are optional. So hit the subscribe button now for this channel and check out other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thank you for being part of helping us become the ESPN of TV Talk.
Heck yeah. Check out our YouTubes, guys. We're covering pretty much everything there, so you can see more. Let's talk about Lee's dad. So can you guys relate to the idea of not wanting to talk to specific people when you're grieving?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think the show, it's easy. It was easy for us to be like, Lee, just talk to your dad. But, like, she's not necessarily entitled to have to do that.
Yeah.
I was Team Lee.
Yeah.
I was like, why should she have to talk to this guy that she doesn't want to talk to, that right. clearly kind of did some shady stuff that messed up her family? Like, I was Team Lee from the beginning here.
Right. I've been Team Lee this whole show. But then it's that other thing of, like, after 3 months, does she owe him a call? Like, what's the timeline of, like, now? Or do you ever owe? It's like, it's that question of, like, do you owe family anything?
It's like, it seems like with Lee's process, you kind of have to put this butt in her ear, and she's going to fight back because she's like, she processes externally, as Taylor wonderfully said in episode 2. Mm. But that doesn't mean it didn't, like, get sat in her head and she's not thinking about it, you know? So I think for her specifically, the the way she grieves is that you have to, like, say these things, and she might not, like, appreciate it at the moment, but... Mm. But for someone like Becca, that might not have worked. So I think we're just learning, like, you have to learn how that person is grieving to know how to support them.
Good point. And it was funny because, and you can make the argument that the dad's being kind of selfish, too.
For sure.
It's funny to watch other people's selfishness rear its head when people are grieving. Like, you'll hear someone be like, you know, I texted them a week ago, but, like, they haven't texted back yet. Like, are they okay? I hope they're okay. And it's like, I know what you're saying is, like, I don't feel like I'm being seen as this person grieves. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Again, what I like about the show, though, is instead of this one-dimensional reductive conversation she has with her dad, it is this illuminating, narrative-pushing conversation she has with him. Well, how did you guys feel about their actual conversation?
Yeah, I think for me, like, it's actually, that might be one of my nominations for most moving moments, just nice. Because of how it played a role in the grand scheme of things, but it was so small.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think their interaction was so intriguing because, you know, I just, for someone who has a complicated relationship with his father, too, I think it's so telling. You know, they feel like they're probably really different, but they're still really similar. Mm. And how they dealt with conflict is very similar. And his advice being so helpful to her, and he probably didn't realize how helpful it was. It was just really powerful in the grand scheme of things.
I did think it was kind of interesting how she softened a little bit during this conversation with him, even though the mom was saying, like, pretty much the same exact thing at the beginning about how, like, the dad moving out and stuff was, like, really hard on her. And so it kind of made me feel bad for the mom, yeah. though, because I was like, she was, like, the victim in the situation and you're the one. But, of course, when you're, like, maybe closer to one parent, that's kind of what you do when you talk to the other parent. Like, you're right. easier on them a little bit. But I thought that, like, sort of contrast was interesting, too.
I think that's a great point, too, because she did that twice. She repeated the advice that her mom told her at the beginning of the episode to Danny at the end, and I think that was episode 2. Or sometimes you might not want this thing now, but you might want it down later down the road. So that was interesting that they've done that a couple times.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a really sharp point you're making. The only thing we really haven't talked about in this episode yet is the actual class. So we know that Lee is a bar teacher, or I guess this is...
The bar class.
The bar class. Yeah, yeah. And she's working them very, very hard in this class. Am I right in assuming that she was doing that specifically to target Becca?
I think so, too.
Is that how you read it?
Oh, honestly, like, really? Yes, now that you say that, but I didn't get that.
Well, I don't know if that's...
Maybe that was just me not paying close enough attention.
No, because I thought maybe she's just, at this stage in her life, she's too angry to be a good teacher. I wasn't sure if, like, this was her MO as a teacher, or if, like, she was just annoyed Becca was in the class.
Yeah, I think I took it as her, like, really wanting to get back at Becca, but it just didn't work.
Yeah. Well, that's what's crazy is it backfired. And of course, it's Mia who ends up vomiting.
Yeah.
This was such a smart way to include Jules in the subplot.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought this was an interesting... It was a way to handle how their business works, how Jules would handle this. How did you guys feel about this subplot with the bad Yelp review and the waitress?
Yeah, it was good. insight into Jules, her personality a little bit. And we got more of the mom through that too, which was cool. Because right now she's like this ominous figure who's like perfect, and she has her flaws too.
Yeah.
I think Kelly Marie Tran's doing such a good job of getting me on Jules' side no matter what she does.
You're right.
Like, objectively, was it smart to follow her to the restaurant? No. But I was like, she tried her best. Like, I'm all for it. Like, and she just is like, she seems so sincere and like non-threatening that I'm like, she just wanted you to take the review down. Like, just take it down.
I know.
But I thought at the end when she went back to the restaurant against all advice, I really liked that we got to see more of her emotion and her sort of explaining it to a stranger. Like, we haven't really seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that scene too. And it kind of brought it full circle.
Yeah, the show did a really good job of allowing us a little sneak preview into who Mia was, you know, because I think for this whole episode, we think she's kind of a B-I-T-C-H. But when she's willing to take down that review after hearing the full picture of their life, I just liked that moment.
And I liked how quiet it was, too, because Jules notices that she, like, has a physical response to her telling that story, but we didn't get her story back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was a really smart choice of just having that little, like, recognition, like, literally just in her body language.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that choice.
It's a great point. It's very this show. I also appreciate that Jules wanted to reserve the grieving card. Like, you know, she could have laid that down at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, she was like, we're a small business. It's like she waited until she had to use the grieving card as a reason for something.
Yeah.
I'm sure as someone who's sober, it's very important to try to rely on your own independence and power before you yield to your weakness.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just thought that was really smart. Okay, we don't have that much time, but I do want to talk about our most moving moment for this episode. Taylor, let's start with you down on that end. What's your most moving moment in episode 3?
I'm going to take the super easy one and say the final scene of Lee finally taking Becca's hand when Becca breaks down during the massage.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I mean, obviously I love that one, but I'm going to try to be different. So I would say the car scene with Matt and Lee when they're sitting outside of her father's house. And he says something to the degree of your expectations for people were too unrealistic. I think it was a great insight into her personality and like why she's struggling with what she's struggling with.
Yeah. It's cool. Those flashbacks. Sometimes flashbacks can feel like they don't belong in a show, but in this, they give us so much information about who Lee is. You know, it's like, it's all character development.
Yeah.
I was going to do that moment, but I was just thinking, I was very moved by the Jules Mia scene at the end. And the fact that it was such a wordless acknowledgement of each other's pain, and it was enough for both of them to be decent people. I was very moved.
Yeah.
That would be my most moving moment. Yeah. Well, if you guys watch any AfterBuzz shows, you know that normally this is the time when we give our predictions, but we've seen episode 4, so I don't know if we need to give any predictions. Anything, though, that you saw in this episode that teased a prediction that might... It's okay if... I think... It's all right if you don't have one because this is a different kind of show, but...
Well, I just hope we see more of Becca, honestly. Yeah. I hope this wasn't just sort of a one-off because I'm really invested and interested in her character, and I think that would be really cool to see her and Lee continue to develop a relationship.
Yeah.
Agreed. I think we will. I think she says she's on for 2 episodes.
Okay. Oh, cool.
But I think mine was... I had it and I lost it. But I think what I want from this is a little bit more... I lost my prediction.
I'll hop in, and then if it comes to you, let me know.
It was good, too. Dang it.
I know. It'll come back right when we wrap, and then you can tweet it. But Lee's dad, I really was interested in, and I don't think we're done with him either. And it's rather than predictions, this show will whet your appetite for something you want to see more of. It's not so much of a plot-forward show as it is sort of like a character-forward show.
For sure.
So I'm excited to see some of that develop. And we will, as we continue our coverage of Sorry for Your Loss, guys. Today we covered episode 3, but we will be covering episode 4 right after this. So if you're watching live, stay with us because we're going to talk about Visitor, which is episode 4. And I got to say, Facebook did send us screeners for episode 5 and 6. So I think those are dropping Thursday?
Tomorrow.
Or tomorrow. but we're going to watch them early if we can. But yeah, guys, we're going to be here all the time covering. Sorry for your loss. We've been in touch with Facebook, hoping to get some guests in studio. So stay tuned. Our goal is to bring the most thorough, in-depth coverage as we can for this show. Mm-hmm. Until next time, guys, my name is Jeffrey Graham. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, you can do that at Jeffrey C. Graham. How about the rest of you?
Yes, I just thought of my prediction, but I will tweet it out.
Yes.
My prediction involves who I think the unknown caller is calling his calling.
Okay, yeah, great. That's a good clip. Now I want to tweet to you. Damn.
But I'm D'Angelo, and you can hit me on Twitter at D'Angelo TV or on Instagram at D'Angelo.
You guys can find me on Twitter at @Alphaba_ and Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
Guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in 5 minutes.
Deuces.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.